We're continuing in our brief series through the book of Ruth, last Lord's Day morning, and this Lord's Day morning we were in Ruth chapter 1, and we want to carry on into the afternoon service into chapter 2, also in connection with the privilege we have this day to be together at the banqueting table of our God, feasting in His goodness and His grace, in His hesed, His covenant kindness. Remember, we drew attention to that word that keeps coming up in the Bible, but also keeps coming up in the book of Ruth, the Hebrew word hesed, H-E-S-E-D, the steadfast love of the Lord, the covenant loyalty of the Lord, covenant kindness. We've said it's sort of hard to translate because it's so rich and so full. And we see that blessing continuing to come to expression here in chapter 2 as well. So we pick up at chapter 2 in the Pew Bibles, page 307 in the Pew Bibles, Ruth chapter 2, and we recall that Naomi, I was have to catch myself a little bit. I get Naomi and Ruth mixed up in my head, so you'll pardon me if I do that once, you'll know that I just do that. So Naomi is the aged mother, the widow, and the one who lost both of her sons. And Ruth is the daughter-in-law. And now they're back in Bethlehem. And it's the barley harvest. They went out when it was a famine. They came back, and it's a barley harvest. God has visited His people. God has shown kindness and grace and love. And we want to carry on into what begins to happen in Bethlehem, the house of bread, where God continues to bless His people. And this love story of God for His people continues to unfold before our eyes. Ruth chapter 2. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you've left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay you your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she ate. She sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "The man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So far from the Holy Word of God. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open, and I'll direct our attention this afternoon to verse 20 as our text, a window on what is set before us in this whole passage of Ruth chapter 2. Ruth 2:20. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we recall, it's helpful for us to remind ourselves, the things that we looked at together this morning from chapter 1, and the place where we left off with Naomi, the elderly one, home again in Bethlehem, but having something of a pity party, lamenting the fact that the Lord had laid his hand on her, that his hand was against her. And she had spoken of the fact that the Lord had dealt with her bitterly. The Lord had uttered his judgment against her. He testified against me. And the Lord has afflicted me. So Naomi's perspective was down in the dumps. Naomi was seeing things through very dark glasses. At this point, she was definitely what we might call a glass half empty kind of person. But we also began to see that in spite of the fact that she said, "Well, the Lord has brought me home again empty, even though I went out full, he's brought me home empty." Instead of focusing on the fact that she's empty, should she not be focusing on the fact that the Lord has brought her home? And that the blessing of being home was to be fully enjoyed and experienced in the understanding of the covenant kindness of the Lord, his hesed, his steadfast love which never ceases, his faithfulness to all that he's promised. And we were beginning to see how, in spite of what Naomi said about herself and saw with respect to her own situation, the Lord was at work. And we've alluded already to the fact that chapter 1 reminds us of the fact that it was the beginning of barley harvest in Bethlehem, the house of bread. God is blessing the land with fruitfulness. God is showing his favor. God is making all things well. And so we have been encouraged to see and appreciate that despite what Naomi sees about herself, there is blessing to be experienced and enjoyed. And we'll work our way through the passage here together, but I want us to appreciate, just by way of sort of introduction and holding it before us as to give us a taste, when we read at 2 verse 20, the words I've designated as our text, Naomi's eyes are now opened, aren't they? They're beginning to open up to the fact that she's seen things incorrectly all along. They're beginning to open up to the riches of the covenant kindness of the Lord. She's singing the doxology here. Blessed be he of the Lord. Now we'll talk about what that means and who she's talking about. But certainly we can see here as well, blessed be the Lord. And she speaks here of not forsaking his kindness. And I'll just alert you to the fact that that not forsaking his kindness, behind that stands the same word we were talking about this morning. Hesed. Covenant kindness, the steadfast love of the Lord, his faithfulness, his loyalty to his covenant. Blessed be the Lord. She sings the doxology. So we want to appreciate that though she had lamented the fact that she thought she went out full and came home empty, this passage lays before us the blessing of fullness in God's grace and loving kindness. And Naomi has to come to the realization of it. And God, by his gentle covenant kindness, in terms of everything that is unfolding here, and the work and the ministry of the person of Boaz, the close relative, the one who is a kinsman redeemer, as we'll see, is part of the Lord's kindness and love to Naomi. And we see the unfolding purposes of God in this love story, the grand love story of God for his empty, unworthy people by his steadfast love. So we're speaking this afternoon of the blessing of going from emptiness to fullness. From emptiness to fullness, and again we'll say, by the covenant kindness of the Lord. We go from emptiness to fullness by the covenant kindness of the Lord. And we'll work our way through what we see in the passage here by the statements that I make, 1, 2, 3, 4. And the first one is this: faith must step out and act. So we've spoken already of the fact that we're coming into Bethlehem. We have arrived in Bethlehem with Naomi and Ruth a little earlier on in the ending part of chapter 1. We've already been reminded and encouraged. It's barley harvest. There's no famine there anymore. Things are looking up. Happy days are here again. God is blessing his people. Things are looking up despite Naomi's sort of sullen and discouraged and despondent approach to things. Things are looking up. And then we read further into chapter 2, the first words in chapter 2. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Now that's just, it appears to us, just thrown in there. We haven't heard of Boaz yet. If we're reading this for the first time, that kind of strike, oh, Boaz, never heard of him. I wonder what that's all about. But we need to appreciate that this introduction is given to us here by the Holy Spirit-inspired narrator, the scripture writer, to give us a further note of hope and encouragement. This is going to be good. This is encouraging. There's a man of great wealth. His name is Boaz. And we'll tuck that away and we'll keep that in our minds, waiting for the blessing of God's work to unfold. Now, as I say that in terms of the way this comes to us at verse 1, as a snippet of good news, a sort of foretaste of good things to come, to help us appreciate that this is how God works. God is, he's gone beforehand. God is always ahead of us in terms of blessing and the blessing of his people. God is working all things together for the good of those who love him. This is going to be good. It's going to be very good. And in spite of the fact that we know there is a man of great wealth and his name is Boaz, that's just information the narrator gives us. And we come to verse 2 and verse 3, where old Naomi and her young daughter-in-law, Ruth, are sitting around, having arrived in Bethlehem, maybe found their way back into the old lodging of Elimelech and Naomi. And they're twiddling their thumbs, and they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know this detail that we know about Boaz, this man of great wealth. Now, if Naomi would have thought about it, she would have perhaps thought about this man. But Naomi's not going anywhere in her thinking. Naomi is still stuck in a rut. Naomi is still seeing everything darkly. Naomi is still bitter and complaining. The Lord has put his hand against me. The Lord has afflicted me. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. The Lord has testified against me. That's all she sees at this point. So, I trust you can relate from your own experience. What happens? What happens when you are stuck in a rut like that? What happens when you see everything darkly? What happens when everything is negative? What happens when you take the approach that God is to blame for all of this and woe is me? What happens when you have that sort of pity party? What happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. You're stuck. You know how that goes, right? When you see everything from a negative perspective, there's no way you want to step out and do anything. That's the downward spiral we find ourselves on when we take that approach, when we're in a circumstance like that of Naomi. And we need to be encouraged. She's going to need to be encouraged in the covenant kindness of the Lord. With a broad Christian perspective of the whole Bible, we need to be reminded of texts like Romans 8:28. God is working all these things together for the good of those who love him. It's going to be okay. God has shown his covenant kindness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us whatever we need? We may not be rich. We may continue to go through various struggles. But we need to be encouraged in the covenant kindness of the Lord. This is going to be good. Naomi didn't see that. Naomi was going nowhere fast. Naomi was doing nothing because of where she was stuck. But Ruth is not going to sit around. Ruth, the Moabitess, Ruth, who had thrown herself into the service of old mother-in-law Naomi and was clinging to her, not just her, but her people, not just her people, but her God, in devoted service and dedication to her well-being, she begins to look around. What can I do? How can I help? That's what faith does. Faith will step out and ask. Please let me go to the field, Ruth says to Naomi. Let me glean the heads of grain and after him in whose sight I may find favor. And so Naomi says, go. Okay, go. That sounds good, I guess. Go. What encouragement, Ruth, the new convert, is to the beleaguered, crusty old believer, Naomi. And what a blessing we can sometimes have as well, right? From the joy, the zeal of a new convert who is so, so very grateful to the Lord for his mercy, that they begin looking around. What can I do? Verse 3 says, then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Everybody know what gleaning is? We live in a city. And we live in the, 21st century? We perhaps don't all know what gleaning is. A gleaner is someone who goes behind the reapers. And a reaper is someone who's there working and harvesting the grain. And when the reapers are harvesting the grain, The provision made in the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 24 and Deuteronomy chapter 25 is that they should leave some of the grain. Some of it should just be allowed to spill, or some of it should be left around the edges of the field and not even touched, because then those who are poor can come and they can glean. So whatever didn't get reaped gets gleaned. They sort of clean up after the reapers. And this was a provision that God wrote into the commandments for his old covenant people. It was sort of a work welfare sort of program, which did a couple of things. It made sure that God's people were not being negligent with regard to their care of the poor around them. There should not be poor among you. And it also gave those who needed a little bit of help the opportunity to be involved and engaged in going about and doing the gleaning themselves, having a responsibility to do that work. It upheld their integrity, gave them dignity in terms of the challenge they found themselves in. So Ruth goes and she gleans. She gleaned in the field after the reapers. Naomi sends her. You go. But I just want to make the point, faith, as we say here, must step out and act. Ruth isn't going to sit around and wait. You need bread? You don't wait for it to come down from heaven. You go and you work. And we can apply this. I mean, ask the question to all of us, what are you waiting for? Are there any of us here this afternoon who are waiting for the Lord to do a work in our lives, so then we may say, now I know I'm a Christian? What are you waiting for? You must step out. You must step forward. You must go to Christ and find he will be faithful. And as Christians, are there things that we say, you know what, I really should get around to doing a better job of, and you fill in the blank. I really should open my mouth and be a more diligent witness to my neighbor. I really should, and whatever it is, what are we waiting for? Faith needs to step out and act. And we're encouraged by the zeal, the devotion, the sacrificial devotion of a Ruth, a new convert, who has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Now she wants to be a blessing. She wants to help. Number two, God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. So she has the go-ahead from mother-in-law Naomi, and we read in verse 3, then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. We already know that. We've been given those details. We're watching out for what's going to happen with this Boaz. And now she just happens to be in his field. How does that happen? Boys and girls, does stuff just happen? Well, we know that lots of glorious things happen in this world, but nothing just happens. This is the work of the sovereign kindness of our covenant faithful God. This is his hesed. This is his steadfast love. God is at work here. And God has arranged that just at the time that Naomi goes to reap in the fields, she just happens to be in Boaz's field. And then we read at verse 4, now behold, Boaz. And again, the way the biblical text comes to us, it's sort of calling us to take notice. Behold, Boaz. It's sort of the Bible's way of signaling to us this is something we should pay attention to. I like to think of we're on our way to Christmas, right? We think of the words of the angels. Luke 2, verse 10. Behold, I bring you glad tidings, which will be of great joy to all the people. There's a Savior born this day in the city of David who is Christ the Lord. Behold. Take note. Behold Boaz. Take a look. Probably an old guy. But look at him. Boaz came from Bethlehem. He's the one we've been waiting for. He's the one we've been alerted to pay attention to. And listen to how he greets the reapers. The Lord be with you. And how they answer him, the Lord bless you. Speaks to the kind of environment he creates in his fields. You have to appreciate that when Ruth was sent off into the fields to do some gleaning, that wasn't necessarily something that you ought to be eager to do. She'd be among the field men. She'd be vulnerable. She'd be open to attack and abuse. But Boaz's fields are different, because Boaz is marked by the covenant kindness of the Lord. Listen to him speak. The Lord bless you, he says, or the Lord be with you. And they respond in kind. The Lord bless you. God has arranged for all of this to unfold in just this particular way. And we read further into the verses that follow. Boaz begins to ask, whose woman is this? He wants to know how she got there. He wants to know where she fits. He's not saying she doesn't belong there. He just is interested, and he's concerned as a kind covenant man to see how this all works. And so we read further in verses 6 and 7 that the servant who was in charge of the reapers said, this is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She's that foreigner. You know the one. You know the one that they've begun to talk about? People know in Bethlehem. Word has gotten around. And she was the one who asked if she could come and glean, and so there she is. And she's been there from morning until now. She has been working under the hot sun with all of her might. She rested a little in the house. So Boaz goes to Ruth, and he speaks to her. Verse 9. You will listen, my daughter, will you not? He calls her my daughter. He is so very kind. He doesn't put her off. He doesn't say, you Moabites. No, my daughter. He is kind and gracious to her. Do not glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close. Stay close by my young women. He's going to make room for her. He's going to provide for her. He already knows what his responsibility is, and he's not shirking it. He's not running from it. He's showing himself to be a man of the covenant, a man who knows the kindness of the Lord and will show it. Let your eyes, verse 9, be on the field which they reap, my women. Go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from the young, from what the young men have drawn. So he protects her and he provides for her. So she fell on her face, verse 10, bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me? I'm a foreigner. I have no right to any of this. All those provisions with regard to gleaning were for of the covenant people. I'm a foreigner. Should we not, as new covenant people, be as amazed as she is when we think about the grace of God? We were strangers and foreigners to the covenants of promise. Why should the Lord have taken notice of us? Covenant kindness. His amazing grace in Jesus Christ. So Boaz responds to her, verse 11. He answered and said to her, it's been fully reported to me in all that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you've left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. You gave up everything. You gave up the opportunity to go back and have a husband, have your own children. You gave up everything to serve your mother-in-law. That's an expression of covenant kindness. We've taken note. That's the work of God's grace in you. We see that, and we thank God for that. The Lord repay you, verse 12, for your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. She has come to cling to this God, and she is under his care and protection, and Boaz reminds her of that and encourages her in that. So, she is emboldened, verse 13, to press further. In terms of the grace being shown her. She said, verse 13, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants. I don't actually deserve this at all. And yet you've been kind to me. And so that's how the blessing of her sense of God's favor is beginning to be experienced. And it comes to mealtime, lunchtime, verse 14. And Boaz doesn't keep her at a distance. Boaz doesn't say, as the rich, wealthy farmer, well, I'll sit over here and you sit off with the rest of them who are less important than I am. No, he says, you come with me. And he says, eat of the bread. He's got roasted barley for her. And dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. Now, we may say, doesn't sound so appealing, but you have to appreciate, this is the food that a rich man like Boaz was eating round about his fields. And this for Ruth, who's been hungry, who's been traveling a long way from Moab, this would be a wondrous feast for her. And so she sits down. She ate and she was satisfied. End of verse 14. And she kept some back. There was so much, there was leftovers. It was food left over. And we're going to see that she has in mind, I am so richly blessed here. I've got to bring some of this back to Naomi. So then, after the meal was over, we read further at verse 15, when she rose up to glean again, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reprove her. So he's saying, let her even get ahead of the reapers. Doesn't matter. I don't care. I just want her to be provided for. Verse 16, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean. Do not rebuke her. This is the overflowing kindness of God in his covenant mercies. His grace abounds to sinners like us. So, it sort of summed up for us at verse 17, she gleaned in the field until evening. She worked hard all day. And then she beat out what she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. Now that can be as much as 50 pounds. That's a lot. And she's going to slag that bag over her back and she's going to bring it to Naomi. She is well provided for. This is God's perfect timing. Let's pick up in number 3 here. There is a Redeemer. What happens now as Ruth makes her way back to Naomi, and her purpose here was to be a blessing to Naomi, to care for Naomi in her dejection, in her faithlessness, in her struggle. Verse 18, she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Wow. She's got this 50-pound ephah of barley on her shoulders, in addition to the great food that she ate at lunchtime, that she's bringing the extras back to her mom-in-law. She lays it back before her. She lays it before her and gave to her what she'd kept back after she'd been satisfied. Verse 19, her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today? How have you done so well? Where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And you see what's happening here. Naomi, who had begun so dejected and bitter and complaining and inactive, unable to get out of bed, so to speak, has her heart beginning to soften. Things are turning around for her. You had heard her say, wrongfully, of course, over against the Lord, I went out full. He brought me home empty. It was completely wrong. She had it wrong. But now she's beginning to see that because her loving daughter-in-law, Ruth, went out in the morning empty, and she's come home full. So things are turned on their head. Things are turned, as it were, right side up. And Naomi is beginning to see it. And she begins to give God the glory. We said that in verse 20. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. If you just look carefully at verse 20, I'm going to ask you, who's she talking about? Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. Who has not forsaken his kindness? Is it Boaz? Or is it the Lord? And perhaps you won't be surprised to hear that my answer is yes. Yes. Blessed be he of the Lord. Blessed be he, that's Boaz. He's not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. Now, our translation, mine in front of me, says his kindness capitalizes his. So it wants us to see that God is ultimately in view here. And I agree with that. This is God's kindness. His what? Hesed? His covenant mercy. His steadfast love. But it has come to expression through the ministry, the care, the kindness of Boaz. So is this Boaz that she is praising God for, or is it God himself that she's praising God for? And the answer is both. The verse is, we would say, purposefully ambiguous, that we would not be sort of caught in the horns of a false dilemma. It's both. This is how God shows his covenant kindness, through the likes of people who love him and care for others, like Boaz does. And then it strikes her at the end of the verse. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Other translations put it this way. This man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. Because the word that's used here, the word goel, another Hebrew word, apologize for the Hebrew today, the word goel means redeemer. It means kinsman redeemer. And again, that has in view Old Testament provision, like we read in Leviticus 25, and again, Deuteronomy 25. For when somebody has had to sell themselves into slavery, a near relative would have to redeem them and buy them back and bring them back into the fellowship of God's people. That's in Leviticus 25. Deuteronomy 25 speaks further of the fact that if a man dies childless, it may well be the responsibility of this near redeemer to be used of God to raise up children for the widow for the name of the dead man. And blessed be he, that is Boaz, that is God, who's not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. There is a redeemer. Naomi has her eyes open to the fact there's something glorious going on here. There is hope for the future. There is hope for our inheritance. There is hope for the line of the children of Elimelech, even though he was a loser. There is hope in our close relative, Boaz. Blessed be God. There's a redeemer. Now, we also know that this love story in the book of Ruth is undergirded by the love story of God's glorious grand work in the salvation of his people through Jesus Christ. So we know that Naomi and Ruth needed more than bread to eat. Ruth needed more than a husband to marry her. They needed a redeemer to save them from their sins. As do we. There is a Redeemer. He is the one that undergirds this story. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And this afternoon, as we come to take bread and wine, not barley and sour vinegar, but bread and wine, we recognize that the Lord is not begrudgingly allowing us to work around the edges of the field and pick up scraps. He's calling us to his banqueting table, and the banner over us is his love. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Praise be to God. There's a Redeemer. And as we rejoice in that together this afternoon, let's also appreciate what we have to learn from the covenant kindness of a man like Boaz in terms of his care for, his compassion, his desire to have a relationship. And I'm not speaking in any sort of sexual way or any in sort of inappropriate way. A relationship with an outsider, a Moabitess, like Naomi. He took the time to come alongside of her. He took the time to bring her into his fellowship around his table. There's much for us to learn here as well in terms of what covenant kindness looks like in the way of hospitality to outsiders, to outcasts, to immigrants, to foreigners. We were all strangers and foreigners to the covenants of promise. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. We've come to know Him by name and to rejoice in His goodness and grace. Let's also be those who extend that covenant kindness to those around us. And let's conclude the fourth point this afternoon. Stay close. Stay close. We had an intimation of that already at 2 verse 8 when Boaz first meets Ruth and first begins to speak with her. You listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. And now in verse 21, Ruth picks that up and she reminds her mother-in-law of what she heard Boaz say. Verse 21, Ruth the Moabitess said, he also said to me, you will stay close to by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. Stay close. And Naomi, verse 22, she said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good. It's good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field. So verse 23, so she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to go glean until the end of the barley harvest. She stayed close. Naomi, the mother-in-law, having learned the hard way, had known what it was to turn tail and run. When the going gets tough, the weak, the frail, the feeble, the unbelieving bail out. She left. She left town. She left the promised land. They left the place of God's favor. His covenant kindness. She knows better now. Stay close. Stay close. And we taste and see that the Lord is good. Stay close. Stay close to God. Stay close to your Redeemer, a close relative, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A Savior who's not ashamed to call us His brethren. Stay close. Come to Christ and live. Stay close to His people. Stay close in terms of our fellowship together in the blessing of a faithful church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay close to His Word. Stay close to His promises. Taste and see that He is good as the word is preached and as the bread and wine show to us. We have an abundance in the love of God, our Savior. There is a Redeemer. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we draw near to the table of your love and kindness, we rejoice in knowing the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to respond to what you speak to us of in your covenant kindness and your love, to rest, to trust, to believe, to cast our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us. We thank you, O God, that in your sovereign grace you have brought us here together this afternoon. We thank you that all things are governed according to the counsel of your will. There's not a single thing that happens in this world that is not being worked for our good and your glory. We thank you that we come to know this blessing because of Jesus. We thank you for the perfect work of our Redeemer. And we pray that you'd enable all of us to live in close covenant communion with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.